Thanks for joining us here on this Wednesday. It's Vinny Bonsignor, Clay Baker, and the Morning Tailgate here on Raider Nation Radio. It's great to be with you today. Thank you so much for taking time with us. I got to tell you, the LV Sports Network app sounds amazing on my iPhone. My friends who have Androids, it sounds even better there. So make sure you do yourself a favor. Download the free LV Sports Network app. It helps you stream seamlessly on both phones, as well as gives you contact right to our podcast page for JT The Brick Show, Hugh Myers, Morning Tailgate. Anything you want, it's right there. LV Sports Network app. It's fantastic. Thanks again to Sean Syed from Sumer Sports. Getting great feedback on that. And the new kickoff rules, keep them coming on the text line 702-365-9200. You want to enter the contest? Sure, of course you do. For the summer of fun from Planet Nissan, you'd be crazy not to, because all it takes is you to text the word FLY, F-L-Y, FLY, to 702-365-9200. And why? Send FLY? Because you can qualify for the seven-day cruise, the Mexican cruise to Ensenada, Cabo San Lucas, Mazatlan, $500 cash. Fantastic prize. If you don't want that, you can just take the $3,000 cash, bubby. It's that easy. It's free. Text the word FLY, F-L-Y, to 702-365-9200. Be a part of the Summer of Fun brought to you by Planet Nissan. Eddie Barcilli joins us now from SiriusXM, Channel 156. Channel 156 is Fight Nation here on Raider Nation Radio. We're always happy to have Eddie here each Wednesday. Good morning to you, sir. All right. Can you explain the irresponsible and crazy erroneous nature of how New York media, from WFAN and Boomer and Geo, all the way to Dan Orlovsky trying to kiss Greeny's ass, talking about Davante Adams, and this is a done deal that he will play for the Jets this time, sometime this season. I mean, come on. When does it stop? When does it end? You're surrounded by it all day long, Eddie.
It never stops, and I've said multiple times on this show before, Jet fans, Jet fan bases, Jet reporters, they may be they've gone through a lot over the years.
Yeah,
they throw stuff. No, I mean, guys, you know, as well stuff. As everybody listening to the show, it's the dog days. Not even the dog days of the summer yet, but you know, reports are and people are looking for news stories. People are looking for things out there, and you know, these reality shows, you know, starting with the quarterback show last year and receiver show this year, have opened up the can of worms. You saw it with, you know, the Giants and some of the Saquon stuff that's coming out. And they obviously can't talk about Saquon going to a new team, but just some dirty laundry getting aired that people are not used to seeing. And I think it's kind of the first time. And, you know, you get Aaron Rodgers saying, come back. And, you know, you get all these kind of avalanche things. And you're sitting there with, you know, sports, the NBA being over, hockey being over, baseball at the All-Star break. And it's like, okay, let's let's see what we can drum up here. And everybody's excited for football season. And I'm not saying that they don't talk to people. I've been around Boomer a lot over my career.
Yeah.
He's a terrific person. He's a good guy. But he's probably talking to people and, you know, saying things. And, oh, hey, there's a possibility of this and that. But, you know, you got to look at all the facts, guys. You got to see. It's not as easy as, hey, you know, Devontae wants out. Let's get him out. Or Brandon Ayuk wants a trade. So let's get Brandon Ayuk out of here. There's just so many things that go into this. But, you know, people are always going to connect Davante Adams with Aaron Rodgers. It's just always going to happen. When you have Davante on a reality show, cursing out his quarterback, saying this and that, looks unhappy, all these kind of things, you know, everyone's going to say, all right, well, you know, bring him home, bring him back to his guy. Aaron's 41 years old, and Devontae's getting up there too. So I understand it. I don't understand when people stake their claim on it and you know, basically say it's, you know, like Orlovsky said, a done deal. That's irresponsible to me, if you're going to say it. But, you know, it's just that time of year, guys. You know, training camp is just on the horizon. Once they put the pads on, Devontae's there, starts making comments, you know, on the regular. I think this stuff will kind of, you know, settle its way out, and we'll see where, you know, we head into training camp.
What's so funny to me is that it's not like Aaron Rodgers just showed up to New York. It's not like Aaron Rodgers just started expressing interest in Davante Adams and him having a reunion. It's not like the Jets haven't tried in the past to trade for Davante Adams, and the door keeps getting shut and keeps getting shut, primarily, you know, from Davante Adams and obviously the Raiders as well. So at what point do you think people just finally throw up their hands and say, you know what, as much as we've been talking about it, as much as we've been trying to, put it out there to the universe to make it happen, it just ain't happening. And it's not going to happen unless something goes completely awry this year.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's going to completely go away, you know, unless the Raiders, you know, get off to a terrific start. You know, they're 5-2 or something like that, and nobody's talking about it. And Devontae's having one of Devontae's types of years. where, you know, that's not even a possibility. But, you know, if the Raiders are a 500 team or their struggles at the quarterback position, I just think you're going to keep on hearing those rumors. I know, you know, reporters like yourself and others are going to go in there. They're going to ask the questions, especially when he starts playing preseason games and he gets opened up to the national media and some other teams. You're going to keep on hearing those questions. So I don't expect it to kind of go away anytime soon. And I think with every release of the newer episode of Receiver, you know, as people go through and watch it, you're going to see more and more. Because, again, and it's all, you know, when you look at it, too, it's kind of funny to me because you're looking back on last season. And you're looking back on, you know, the Josh McDaniels era, and it was, you know, let's be honest here, it was not a good thing for the organization or for Josh. A lot of struggles, and, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo and Devontae being really, really open and adamant about the struggles. We all saw it. We, as fans, as reporters, we saw what was going on in the field, and it wasn't good. So as a leader and as a man, Devontae's going to speak up. So he's always going to be outspoken about things. He was outspoken in the locker room last year. So I don't think the questions are going to keep, you know, are going to stop anytime soon until we get after that trade deadline and things like that. And, you know, if Aaron Rodgers wants to play another year, I think you'll go into next offseason kind of asking the same questions. I just think people are looking at it like Devontae's never going to be happy with another quarterback that's at. That's
well, what's interesting about that is one player's under contract with their current team, another player isn't. To my knowledge, Aaron Rodgers is a free agent at the end of this year, right?
Correct. Yes, that's
so,
correct.
So, as somebody pointed out to me yesterday, you know, when Aaron Rodgers says he can't wait for the reunion, who's to say he's not talking about joining him in Las Vegas with the Raiders?
It's the truth. I mean, people don't look at it like that. And like I said, I think the Rodgers injury last year kind of threw a monkey wrench into everything because, you know, people didn't get to see a full year. And to be honest, guys, like, you know, people clamoring for Devontae to go back with Aaron Rodgers, you know, to me, it's more about Aaron Rodgers' health, you know, coming back from injury and things that he could do, more about, like, what they could do in offense. The Jets have offensive playmakers, man. They got Breece Hall. They got Garrett Wilson. They got guys that can make plays on the football. So it's not like they're bereft of talent that they need Devontae Adams to come in there to win a Lombardi trophy. You know, to me, it's more about the health of the quarterback. So if anything else, I mean, they should worry about Aaron getting out there and taking reps and taking that first hit in the preseason game, probably not the preseason game, but regular season game, taking a first hit and, you know, getting back up and playing a full season before going out there and trading for a receiver. Because I think if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, that offense, you know, with an improved offensive line and young playmakers could do some damage. So, you know, who's to say that they get, you know, 8 games in the year and Aaron Rodgers is off to a ridiculous start and Garrett Wilson's putting up all pro numbers and nobody's even thinking about Devontae Adams. So it's all relative, you know. Like I said, I think it just goes back to the time of the year and where we are as fans, just chomping at the bit for NFL news. People love trades. People love drama. And I think this, you know, this Netflix series has really kind of stirred up the pot for a lot of people.
It's Eddie Borsilli here with us, Channel 156 Fight Nation. He's the station director, and he joins us here on Wednesdays at this time at Borsilli on X. When you go deeper into the wide receiver room for the Raiders, and we talked about this yesterday, do you feel that depth might be a concern if one of the top guys, or perhaps even two, happen to go down, either to injury, God forbid, but do you feel like the wide receiver room is as strong as you might look on paper, or is there still some work to be done?
I think there's some work to be done. You know, I think, you know, there's definitely some depth in there with guys like Jalen Guyton, you know, Christian Wilkinson, and guys that showed some stuff last year. DJ Turner, who's been a special teams guy, and we had that conversation, the three of us, about the special teams angle with DJ Turner being someone that could be impactful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's never a finished book. If you lose a guy, knock on wood, like Devontae Jacoby, yeah, you're going to have to go out there and look for someone else to maybe, you know, step up. Michael Gallup has battled injuries, so you do have some concerns, you know, when it comes to that room. It's not like, you know, you're deep in that, but there are players out there. There are players out there you can go get in training camp. You could bring in another, you know, a couple veterans to see how they fit in. And if you're not comfortable with the, you know, the health side of it, you know, from what Michael Gallup is putting out there, then you can go out and get it. I think anytime any team loses, you know, a top guy or one of the top guys, it's something that, you know, it's hard to come back from, especially with a young quarterback or an offense that's learning a new playbook and Luke Getsy and things like that. But there are still some, you know, good pass catchers out there in free agency. There's guys that you can go out there and get to bring in. There's always a trade angle. I'm not saying, you know, we talked about the Devontae one, but there's always a trade angle to bring guys in that are on the roster bubble and things like that. I'm comfortable where this room is right now. I like the versatility they have. I like the youth. I like, you know, what each guy can do, and I, you know, it's exciting to see what they can do with it. But I don't think it's ever a finished product. You know, I think the running back room and wide receiver room still have some, you know, wiggle room, no pun intended, to, mm-hmm. to kind of see where the chips fall and who's going to make the team, who's not.
Yeah, I think more so in the cornerback room than the wide receiver room. What are your thoughts on cornerback?
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing, right? You have cornerback that there, to me, I'm always a guy that looks outward, right? And you see there's some familiar faces out there on the market. I know the Raiders went out there for the Marcus Peters of the world, and he had ups and downs for the team. But, you know, it seems simple, but it comes down to, can Jack Jones, you know, catch, you know, keep this lightning in the bottle and play up to the way he did last year? Because if he does, you know, the Raiders really have kind of not a lockdown guy, but a guy that could, you know, be an impactful player on that side and be, you know, across, you know, and go up against Nate Hobbs in the slot. My point is, you have younger players there that could step up. You drafted heavy at that position, so you have a lot of youth at that position. And, you know, you want to see early on in mini camps and training camp if those guys could take the next step and could be counted on. And if they can't, you're going to go out there in the free agent market. You know, I saw comments this week from a guy like Stephon Gilmore. He's like, right. There's no way there's 64 cornerbacks better than me. That's 100% right. There's probably not 35 cornerbacks that are better at this point than Stephon Gilmore, even though he's getting up there in age. So you can go out there and get a get a plug-and-play player at the cornerback position, you know, more easily than, I would say, at a defensive line or an offensive line or something like that, because these guys that have been vets can come in, know how to play, know the styles of the receivers, you know the tactics they can use, and can come in. So the cornerback room, to me, I would not be surprised if you see another face or two, veteran face or two, inserted into that room. I know the Raiders have some cap space they can go out there and play with. I don't think anybody out there is going to break the bank, but I would love to see them go out there, you know, and at least bring in a veteran. And if that veteran comes in and is beaten out by a younger guy, then so be it. Then you roll with the young guy. But at least get some competition in there for training camp to see if you can get a guy and get one of these older guys to play at a high level heading into the year.
How long do you think it'll be, like second week of training camp, when you start seeing the proliferation of free agent quarterbacks and names that we know, like, you know, Gilmore, J.C. Jackson, Patrick Peterson seems to be linked back to the Steelers? I mean, how long do you think it'll take? Because it always happens, like, one guy is taken off that list, and next thing you know, they're all gone.
They're all gone. I think these conversations are happening already, Clay, to be honest. I think they're happening already because, you know, GMs and stuff are still waiting out there. I mean, you got guys like Xavier Howard out there, Dory Jackson. You got some guys with some name value, man. And I'm not saying that they're still the players that they were maybe when they're youth, but these are guys that have made plays in the National Football League. So I think the conversations have already happened. I think, you know, GMs and coaches sitting down after their vacations and saying, hey, let's look, where are we light? How much room do we have? Can this guy help us? Can he fit the scheme? And I think players like, you know, Xavier Howard, depending on his health, but like, I keep going back to Stephon Gilmore. He's a guy, I know he played a lot of Tampa 2 stuff in his career, but I think he's a guy that kind of fits in every scheme. And you can plug him. He's just such a smart football player. You can plug him in there. So I think the conversations happen. But to your point, yeah, once one guy's off, everybody starts to panic and say, all right, we got to get one of these guys in there. But why not be one of the first? Why not strike first? You have cap room, you know, to bring in a guy on a one-year deal, bring it in. If it doesn't work, you reset next year and go in a different direction. But I just think that, you know, that's a position, playing the AFC West versus Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, we talk about it all the time. You need guys that can cover with an improved pass rush that the Raiders have and hope to have. You know, you can have more opportunities for picks and more opportunities for turnovers. So I would, you know, if I was in the front office right now, I'd be bringing these guys in for physicals, seeing where they are mentally and physically. And if, you know, both sides feel comfortable, you know, kind of strike them before these guys start jumping off the board.
Yeah, Eddie, we're talking to Eddie Borselli from Sirius XM. When you look at the offensive line, and I feel like it has a chance to be better than it was last year, a little bit more athletic, a little more powerful, especially with Jaxon Powers-Johnson and Dylan Parham making the switch over to the right side. And I like the athletic ability and profile of a Thayer Munford over at right tackle. What's your confidence level in terms of the offensive line?
I agree, man. I think the offensive line is in a really good spot. I think the spots that you were concerned about, you know, are right tackle. I'm a big fan of Thayer Munford. I really am. I think he's got the athleticism. I think he's a guy that is kind of just scratching the surface of a player he can be. I think he could put on more size and be a guy that could be an anchor there at the right side. I think when he's been pushed to play, Mumford has come in and done a good job. So I'm a fan of him, and kind of solidifying that inside, right? Powers Johnson, to me, you know, I don't know what else you could say about the guy. You know, I know the pads haven't been on, and we haven't seen him out there, but, you know, by all the indications, just, you know, born and bred a Raider and a guy that's going to bring that nastiness. And we thought that was going to be, you know, kind of Greg Van Roten last year, and maybe he was to an extent, but I think this guy brings a different type of kind of swagger to this offensive line and really will help in the run game and stuff. So I think landing a guy like that, plugging him in, day one starter next to Colton Miller, is really going to help this. You move Dylan Parham over to right side. The right side will be that, you know, the big test to see if Dylan could play that right guard position in Mumford. But I like where they are. You know, I like the guys they drafted. I like bringing in a guy like Andrews Pete, a guy that's, you know, a former first-round pick, a guy that's played that could be kind of that swing guy, could fill in a left tackle, fill in a right tackle. So I feel better about the offensive line heading into this year than I did last year. And it has a lot to do with, obviously, you know, the rookie draft pick and Mumford really coming to his own. I think you let him take the right tackle job, you put him in there, and I think him and Colton could be those bookends that you need to protect the quarterback and really hit the ground running in 2024.
Great stuff, Eddie. Thanks for coming on today. Eddie's a station director at Channel 156 Fight Nation. I was captivated by watching the ESPN Live fight last Saturday for Rose Namajunas. I've always been a big fan of Thug Rose. I think for the first time, I actually saw in her face that she was enjoying and that maybe even accepting, you know, the crowd cheers and looking around and kind of accepting and enjoying the moment, because it's been a very topsy-turvy career for her, filled with turmoil, and one in which she was able to find her way back in that last fight after she fought and defeated Tracy Cortez on short notice. How do you think this career arc will look for her as she starts to maybe regain her spot in the UFC, especially in the flyweight division or strawweight division?
I can't agree more. And it's the hair, dude. It really is. It fits her persona so much. And, you know, after they got back, you know, Tracy Cortez going, making weight, cutting her hair and things like that. I think Rose is one of those kind of special fighters, right? That has that it factor, especially in that division, in the flyweight division. I think this is going to really propel her, you know, to kind of next up. She's ready for bigger fights. She obviously a main card event there, but, you know, she has that superstar look. You could say you either treat her as a villain, you treat her as a hero, but yeah. I think she's got that it factor, and it's only going to take her to bigger places.
I do too, because that's the kind of personality out of the women's division that UFC is really coveting right now, and I think she's back. Thanks again, Eddie, for your time. We look forward to talking again next week.
Sounds good, guys. Have a great week.
Thank you, YouTube. That's Eddie Borsilli at Borsilli on X. And, you know, I was just a little bit hit the concern button yesterday when we were talking about the depth in the wide receiver room.
Nah, they're okay.
The cornerback room probably has just a little bit more.
Receiver, think about it. They've got guys that have played in this league that are on the back end of the roster. So I think, and I'm intrigued by some of those undrafted free agents as well. So I think I feel good about wide receiver. Cornerback, yeah, maybe.
Cornerback could be that could be problematic if one of your noted guys that you expect to be a starter happens to, like, be delayed by injury.
Well, for sure.
You know, and then it's like, wow, where do you go next? Because you're really going to rely on, you know, two rookies there and Brandon Faison and a collection of guys.
Yeah, you know, and Faison is a guy that that I think, you know, it's the world moves so fast that you forget that this is has been a player that's everywhere he's gone, the Raiders and Colts most recently, he's been an asset, you know, on those teams. So I think the Raiders feel like he could be somebody that that can start, or probably more ideally be a, rotational piece in terms of the, you know, nickel coverage, dime coverage. They also remain, you know, high on Jakorian Bennett. You know, they drafted DeCamrion Richardson and MJ Devonshire. They still have Sam Webb. So it's not as to me, I think they like what they have at cornerback. That doesn't mean that if the right player at the right price, that's also a key to this whole thing. You know, Gilmore saying when he said, okay, that's what you believe. Mm-hmm. But what are you asking for?
Yeah.
What's the money that you're asking for? Are you willing to cut? He's not going to break the bank or anything like that, at least from, I'm sure he wants to. But wanting to and being able to, that's why he isn't signed right now.
And not every team has money this time of the year.
Well, and you know, you have to ask yourself this question too. Where is he honestly in terms of, you know, his level of play? And is it that much better than what you currently have? Because this becomes a young man's league pretty quickly. And, you know, the ability to develop your younger players is a critical component to this. And if you bring somebody in that you believe is just marginally kind of better right now than the younger player that you currently have, you kind of want to side with the younger player, because bringing in the veteran who's marginally better is going to impede the progress of the younger player. And you need that younger player, not just for this year, but next year and the year after as well. So you have to weigh that, as well. What is the potential drawback of bringing in Stephon Gilmore, especially considering what price, you know, he might be asking for. And usually when guys aren't signed, it's because they haven't got the contract offer they want.
And I think Marcus Peters is kind of like that cautionary tale. Let's learn from that. You know, obviously a gifted guy, a guy who spent some fantastic years in the league and some tremendous achievements. But you could see where a young man's game kind of like took over, because he got exposed against the run. He did not like tackling against the run. Runs to the right, runs to his side. The tackling was a big issue, and that's why they had to force him to make a change.
Well, here's the thing. He's never been that guy anyway. And what he's always been able to back it up with was being, you know, a good cornerback, a good coverage guy, especially in terms of, you know, zone defenses. He's never going to be a lockdown cornerback or anything like that. But he read the field well and was an instinctive player. So he made up for the lack of tackling, or really the lack of want to tackle, by being a good cornerback in the type of coverage schemes that he played in. He wasn't even doing that. That was the problem. That was the biggest problem, was that he was just a liability in all phases. And time catches up with everybody, and it certainly caught up with Marcus Peters.
That's Raider Nation Radio here on a Wednesday. It's Vinny Bonsignor and Clay Baker. Make sure you text the word FLY, F-L-Y, to 702-365-9200 so you can qualify for our Summer of Fun giveaway by Planet Nissan. And this week's trip, it's a 7-day trip on a Mexican cruise to Ensenada, Cabo, as well as Mazatlan. And we'll take calls on the other side as well as Four Down Territory. So keep listening here to the Morning Tailgate.
Got a chance to hang out with my Dos Caras tequila people last night over at the Aces game. You know, they're the official tequila of the Las Vegas Aces. So sitting courtside, VIP, access, all you can eat, all that good stuff. Even though I'm on a diet, it was nice seeing all that food back there. They do a great job with the Aces, with all that behind the scenes stuff, and being able to hang with Les Cacahuna and Jorge and Lupita, the owners of Dos Caras Tequila, was a whole lot of fun. And it just reminds me that, and seeing it figure prominently at the Aces game yesterday, this is the hottest new tequila brand in Las Vegas and soon to be elsewhere as well. And if you are here in Las Vegas, you want to chill and kick back and enjoy some great Dos Caras tequila, go check out our good friends over at La Casa Cigar Lounge over at Tivoli Village. You can sip some great Dos Caras tequila, pair it up with some specialty cigars that Mike Prieto has set aside specifically for Dos Caras tequila. It's a great vibe, music every single night, really a truly great place to hang out. And Mike is a huge Raider fan, so he'll talk your ear off about the Raiders, and you could talk his ear off as well. If you want to shop for some Dos Caras tequila, they've got everything over at Twines and Lee's Liquor here in Las Vegas. And if you're not in Las Vegas, don't worry. DosCarasSpirits.com is the place to go. You can make your order online, get it delivered wherever you are. All the details at DosCarasSpirits.com.
Eyeing down the middle. Now pressure off the edge. And drilled from behind.
Ball's out.
Coates with the sack. And big man running. John Jenkins is going to score. Jenkins picked it up. And he had 40 yards of turf with nobody chasing him. It's a lineman's dream. And the Raiders have 55 at the end of the third.
Will Clapp has been their starting center since. And now it's the backup, Brendan Hymus, who is in at center.
And an interception on the first pass.
Amazing.
It's Jack Jones.
Amazing.
It's a pick six.
Amazing.
Lake, and that breaks the record.
Amazing.
The highest point total in Raiders franchise history is Jack Jones on an interception for a touchdown.
Raiders Radio Network with a call. Jason Horowitz, Lincoln Kennedy, and you here on Raider Nation Radio. It's Vinny and Clay here on the Morning Tailgate. Let's get to the phones and then some Four Down Territory. 702-365-9200 out to the base of Mount Hood out in Oregon. It's Raider Mike. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Clay.
Hello.
My Paizan and Denny.
What's going
my
on?
My Paizan. Ah, the madness must end at some point, but we know it won't. Never can. I mean, Greenberg. Look at this guy. He's a Jet fan, deep green. Golic got rid of him, basically, because he's a jackass. Like, I can say that now because Clay said it earlier.
Okay, go ahead.
Right?
Yeah, well.
Yeah, yeah, jackass. Dude, you weren't even born when your team won the Super Bowl. You weren't here yet. So I don't even, no respect, Orlovsky, the whole New York media crap. Now, the Giants are good. You have never been really good, ever. So keep spouting your crap. Devontae's going nowhere. He loves Vegas. He loves being near his grandma. He loves how he looks in that uni. No one looks better in a Raider uni than Devontae.
He does look good.
He just is just, it's, wow. It's like you've combined Freddie B with Tim B, and that's Devontae. So anyway, let's move on. Man, why does this keep coming up? It's because we are the Raiders. We can't deny it. We're always going to be that team that everyone's going to go after. We are the villains of the NFL. That's why it's in that autumn wind song, poem, whatever you want to call it. We are the villains. And now we have what's necessary to back that up. The nastiest defense you're probably ever going to see. This defense, that front four, is just going to destroy. And they know that's going to happen. They know it. So, keep, oh God, run to the casino and bet over 7.5, 6.5, wherever we're at. We're winning 10 or 11 games. And if it fails, Aaron will come here. So that's the other thing they're not mentioning. The Jets will always suck. We got 3 rings. They got 1 from an ancient time. So anyway, Raider Mike's angry. I hope Raider Nation is as angry as me. We'll just deflect. Mm-hmm. We're going to show up and start killing people in September and end the story. Well, and the narrative.
That is...
We are the Raiders.
Yeah, that's what's...
Thank you, Mike.
That is what's required, and let's not kid ourselves. For this thing to go the right way and to stay on the current course, the Raiders need to perform on the field, and I keep going back to the quarterbacks need to play, and the quarterbacks need to play well, and to keep. I mean, it's not necessarily about keeping Devontae happy necessarily. It's for him to remain confident in what you know he's being asked to do and what this organization is doing, and that's going to require winning, playing at a high level, that's all he wants. That is all he wants, and that's on the Raiders, and a lot of that is on the Raider quarterback. So we'll see, you know, how it all plays out. Right now, he definitely is on board. There are no it's not on anyone's radar in terms of asking for a trade or pursuing a trade or entering or entertaining trade requests, or it's not on anybody's roster or radar on either side. But for that to remain the case, again, the Raiders need to perform on the football field, and that's on them.
All right, I agree. That's the and you know what? Let's get into another story about another wide receiver that's making news that's not named Devontae Adams.
First down, and it's 1st and 10, Las Vegas.
Mike Garofalo. 49ers All-Pro wide receiver Brandon Ayuk has officially requested a trade after an offseason of unsuccessful attempts to reach an extension with the 49ers. All right, how do you think this is going
to
play out?
Well, I texted that exact tweet to an NFL general manager. The exact tweet. And his response was, yeah, so did Debo. Which Debo did in April of 2022, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Demanded a trade.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
He signed his contract. And general manager that I was exchanging texts yesterday said, my prediction is he'll sign by next Wednesday. So all right, trade me. Okay, trade request denied. That teams are allowed to do that and can do that. This is all a negotiating tactic right now. Somebody said, well, why didn't you know? Yeah, but you know, Deebo Samuel requested the trade in April. It doesn't matter. The season hasn't started yet. Camp hasn't started yet. Obviously, Brandon Ayuk feels like there's a button he needs to push to try to expedite this thing and get what he wants, basically. And this is the button that he's pushing. The 49ers won't blink. And according to this general manager, he believes it'll all get resolved by next Wednesday anyway.
Okay, that's good. And I think that's a likelihood of him staying, not being pushed anywhere else. Because as soon as that comes out, then the stories are like possible landing spots for Ayuk. Let me throw these at you and get your fact or fiction your designation around it. Washington Commanders. He's friends with Jaden Daniels.
Okay, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Why would the, again.
That's a little more fact. That's a little more fiction than fact.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like the 49ers are trying to win a Super Bowl. They're not going to trade him right now for, you know, a second round pick or a first round pick. That doesn't do them any good in their quest to win the Super Bowl right now. Brandon Ayuk actually does help them. So I don't see them, you know, bending their knee to his demand. That happens all the time. And teams are like, okay, great. You made your demand. Yeah, we're not trading you. So that's, and we'll probably more likely than not figure something out that's going to satisfy everybody.
Pittsburgh Steelers. They seem to be, you know, kind of in the hunt and looking for an answer at wide receiver because George Pickens is really their only answer at the moment.
All of that makes sense for the Washington Commanders. It makes sense for the Pittsburgh Steelers and any other team that you name, you know, on this list. The question is, does it make sense for the 49ers, who are the team that actually is in control of all of these things? And if Brandon Ayuk wants to sacrifice, I'll look what his contract calls for this year. If he wants to sacrifice the money that he would be making this year sit it out, the 49ers will be like, well, okay, good luck with all that.
Yeah, because the player doesn't really have the advantage here, and at the same time, for a team like the 49ers that's chasing a Super Bowl, all you're going to get in return are draft picks right now for Brandon Ayuk. Nobody does that. No team that is competitively chasing a Super Bowl goes after one of their top assets to trade for next year, 2015, 2025, 2026. They don't do that. So it's really not a possibility.
Play action on second and 12.
There's a story that came out of Atlanta Falcons camp that, you know, now that Zach Robinson has been brought over there as our offensive coordinator, formerly with the Rams, that they're now making some declarations about Kyle Pitts, saying that the sky is limit for what kind of season he can have, and he's now basically learning two different positions, tight end and receiver. He's got a lot on his plate. He's handling it well, but he's growing more comfortable in this system because we're moving him around the formation. We'll use him as a blocker. We'll use him as a receiver all across the board. So that's coming from both Robinson and Kevin Coger, the tight ends coach. That's exactly what they're looking for. When you're 6'6 and 246 pounds, as a mismatch on the field, yeah, I would have to think this new offensive system needs to go and tailor itself to how can Kyle Pitts be better.
You know what else Kyle Pitts has that he hasn't had in 2 years now with the Falcons?
A legit quarterback.
Right. yeah, he should be. I think the world of Zach Robinson. I think that he's a head coach in waiting. One of those young protégés in the Kyle Shanahan, Mike Shanahan, Sean McVay group. So, but it's going to make a world of difference as long as Kirk Cousins can stay healthy. Kyle Pitts is going to get maximized and utilized and tapped into in a way that wasn't available to him in his first couple of years with the Falcons because their quarterback play wasn't good at all.
No, was not. All right, we'll take a break.
By the way, Brandon Ayuk is going to make $14 million this year. You telling me he's going to say no to $14 million if it comes to that? Come on.
It's not likely, you know, especially, I mean.
He's not going to sit out and miss out on $14 million.
Right. I don't know exactly what the number he's looking for, but you don't sit out for that kind of money.
If they don't get this thing resolved by camp or next Wednesday, will he sit out? Yeah, I'm sure he will. I'm sure he won't come to training camp. That's happened a million times before, too. But if he's on the books for $14 million this year, last year, He made $2 million. So that's a big, big old jump that he's made. There's no way, no way that he's not going to get that money for himself this year. This is all negotiating right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, if it's $2, $3 million, okay, I can understand. $14.1 million? No, that doesn't happen at all. After this, it's Raider Nation Radio, the morning tailgate. Marcus Johnson from Tape Don't Lie joins us at 9 o'clock. And we'll also open up the phones now at 702-365-9200. Want to go to Monster Jam, do ya? Well, it's at the end of the month in July over at the Thomas and Mack Center. I have two tickets to see Monster Jam 6. It's Gravedigger, Max D, Megalodon, all the biggies, and more. They will push the limits for the skills competition, the racing, and the freestyle. Tickets are available online at unlvtickets.com. You can tell right now. Be caller number 9 at 702-365-9200. 702-365-9200. It's Raider Nation Radio.
Back to the Morning Tailgate with Clay and Vinny.
Thanks so much for being with us here on Raider Nation Radio. It's the Morning Tailgate. Vinny and Clay here on your Wednesday. Hey, congratulations to both Carlos and Kalani, Andy and Patrick, big winners today for both Monster Jam 6 and the Vegas Summer League tickets. Keep listening throughout the day for your chances to win. And if you haven't been able to do so already, qualify for the Summer of Fun giveaway, a 7-day cruise and through Mexico's Ensenada, ports of call, Cabo San Lucas, Mazatlan. That is such an awesome trip. And you get $500 spending cash, or you just take the $3,000 payout. Text the word FLY. F-L-Y to 702-365-9200 here on Raider Nation Radio. A couple props coming out for the NFL season. It's from a offshore book, a global book, and they decided to do yesterday a look at running backs, and some props are out for Zamir White. Let me give you some numbers here, and let me see what you think. Okay, for Zamir White, they're looking at season totals. So season totals, regular season rushing yards, 800.5 over under for Zamir White.
I'm going to go over. I'm going to go over on that.
Seems like over. You get a full season out of any running back.
Yeah.
Especially in a West Coast offense. He's going to be on the field a lot. That 800 seems very makeable. Rushing team.
He stays healthy. I think that's the only drawback.
Yep, that would be the only drawback. You know, and it's like, and anytime they do props, they're always trying to look at, like, you know, what's a best case scenario. But I think 800.5 is very doable. All right, regular season.
I wish they would put games to those. Do they?
What's that?
Like in the props, do they put like game totals as well? Like how many games they'll play? Like, are they assuming that it's 800 yards in 17 games, or 800 yards because they think that he's probably going to get?
I would love to see that. Yeah.
That would be a lot easier for me.
Yeah.
If it's 17 games, I'm definitely over.
Okay, definitely over. All right. Here's regular season rushing touchdowns. A healthy season. 4.5. 4.5 over under for rushing touchdowns for Zamir White.
Over.
I mean, if you think about how Zamir White is a power back, you know, in a West Coast offense for a team, once again, and trying to be aggressive at the goal line, 4.5 could be made. I like that over as well. And for receptions, 30.5, and receiving yards, 220.5. I don't know if Zamir is going to be used in, you know, with catches the way Josh Jacob was out of the backfield. So I would kind of tend to an under on receptions and receiving yards of 30.5 and 225. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I might go under on that as well. By the way, Zamir had one touchdown last year in with the four games that he started. So, yeah, I think that four is a good number. I would go over on that.
Okay. Just conversely, they did a little reading on Josh Jacobs. His regular season rushing yardage is 950.5 over under.
Okay.
They've
got other running backs.
They have other running backs.
I don't think he's going to get used the way he was. So
right.
I would say, boy. When was the last time they had 1,000? I mean, I guess it would have been Aaron Jones.
Let's see. I wonder what did Aaron have?
He's definitely gone over 1,000 multiple times.
But as the lone guy, more or less, you know?
Yeah, they've, you know.
He's not going to be the only answer at running back either.
Yeah, I do think they're going to share. I would say, I'd say that right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I say under, I mean like a couple of yards under.
Yeah, and I think even if he does have like a few yards, like, you know, right 900 range, his regular season receiving yards is 275 and a half, 35 and a half receptions. I think he always comes close to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there hasn't been too many seasons where he hasn't got at least 40 catches.
Yeah.
And I think that was probably the hallmark of why they liked him so much to bring him over, because they know he is great out of the backfield catching passes. And, you know, he's shown it like every year. I mean, there were several years where he had 50 plus catches.
Yeah, you're talking about
Josh Jacobs.
I would go over on that number.
All right, we'll take a break and come back on the other side. Marcus Johnson from Tape Don't Lie will join us. We'll go over to the film discussions that they have diced up, player profiles and more. It's Raider Nation Radio.